We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos, daf Yud. We begin four lines from the top, and the Gemara brings into this next discussion based on the previous Gemara that spoke about a pasuk Yitamu Chatom in the Eretz, that the sinners should seize from the land that David HaMelech was being mispal for the downfall of the Rishon. So the Gemara brings in segues into this next discussion. Hanu Bar Yunei Dahave B'Shevusid Reb Meir. These Bar Yunei, these peritzim, these so to speak troublemakers, the people that were difficult individuals that were in the neighborhood of Reb Meir. And they were really bothering him. So Reb Meir was davening about these troublemakers that they should die, they should pass away. It's too much. Ad nafesh, you know what I'm saying? I'm having too much trouble from these people. So Amrle Bruye Devesu. So his wife Bruye told him, "My daitach, what are you thinking about that you're trying to be misspelled that they should die?" Mishum nechsev yitamu chatam, because David HaMelech himself davened the same thing. They let the sinners seize. However, miksiv chaitim, she was medayik and said, does it say that the chaitim, the sinners should seize? Chatoi miksiv, it says that the sins should seize, which is, she was learning that it's a pl, that in other words, it doesn't mean chatoim, the sinners themselves, but rather she was trying to tell him that chatim, the thing that causes the person to sin, what's causative, that's what it says. And therefore she said that it's the yetzahara that which should sin, not the person that's sinning. Va'oid, she says, she brought a proof. Shvila saved the court. Go to the end of that pasuk. It says, "Rishom oid einam," and the sinners will be no more. So she says, "Kiven the yitam b'chatoim, rishom oid einam." Since the sinners will cease to be, so therefore there'll be no more rishom. How is that possible? If one rasha dies, another one's going to come by also. So what would that mean? Ella, rather, it's like I'm telling you that it's talking about the yetzahara. Boi rachmi loye de lahadri b'tshuva. Be mispalled that this person should do tshuva v'urshom oidon, and then there won't be any more rishoyim. In other words, it's a reference to the yitzahara. If yitamu chatim, if the yitzahara that causes people to sin will be no more, then there will be no more rishoyim. And that's what the Gemara says, b'yirach me'eloyei v'hojri b'tshuva. He was mispalled for this individual that he should do tshuva, and he did tshuva. And Mefarshim will discuss the significance of this Gemara, that we see that a person can be mispalled for someone else's ruchnias, and therefore, he was not that yitamu choytim, not that there was no more sinners, but no more sinning going on, no more yitzahar. A similar story with Bruya, the wife of Reb Meir that was brought up in this last incident. Amar lahu tzeduki lebruya. So this tzeduki, which were individuals that don't believe in the oral Torah, the Torah Shabbat Peh, they only believe in Torah Shabbat Ksav. So he told her, Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Roni akora loyala, the single barren one who doesn't give birth. So he asked, and this is what tzedukim always did in the debates with the tzaddikim. Mishum de lo yolada rani. How do you understand the pasuk? Because they didn't have Teresh Shabbat Peh. Says because she doesn't give birth, that's why she should sing. What do you mean? Why would the barren one sing? So Amri lei shatya shvila saver the kris. So she told him, foolish one, go to the end of the pasuk, as she did when she told Reb Meir. The chsiv ki rabim b'nei shemema memnei b'ulam Hashem, because Hashem says that it's more numerous the children of the desolate one than the children of the inhabited one. So what does that mean? How could there be more children for the desolate one? What does it mean that it's a barren one that doesn't give birth? They're obviously saying that she does have children. So what does it mean she's barren? So Rani Knesset Yisrael, rather that let Klal Yisrael sing, Shadoim Ali Isha Akar, that she is compared to a barren woman, Shalo Yilod Abonim LeGehenim, Kavasayichu, that she doesn't give birth to children that go to the Gehenim, to the purgatory, like you. But of course she has children. And it says she even has more children than the B'nai Ba'ula. But rather it means she's Akar in the sense of having, she's Akar to children going to Gehenim. So the Gemara continues with another debate between a tzeduki and one of the tzaddikim. Omale ahu tzeduki l'rabavo. Ksiv, it says in the pasuk, Mizma l'David bevarche b'mnei Avshalom b'noi. It says a song to David when he was running away from his son Avshalom. Uksiv, and it also says, l'David michtam, that for David there was a song of great worth, bevarche b'mnei Shaul b'ma'ara, when he ran away from Shaul in the cave when Shaul was trying to kill him. So the tzeduki asked Rabavo, hai maisa have a bereish, which story happened first? Mechti, let's see. Maisa Shaul have a bereisha, that when he was running away from Shaul, that was first, because that was before he had those children. So lichta bereisha, let it say, obviously before he had the kingdom. So lichta bereisha, why is it should have said that perek tehillim before the mizmer of Avshalom, which comes in the order in tehillim first. Samalei aswin the loy dashisun smuchin kashalachu. Says you tzedukim who you don't believe in the psukim having relevance one next to the other. That's why you have this difficulty. Ananda dashina smuchim lekashal. But we that we darshin smuchim, we say there's a reason why every pasuk is near another one. We don't have this problem. And the reason is Dam Rabbi Yochanan smuchim that Torah minayin. As we say, Rabbi Yochanan says, how do we know a source for the concept of smuchim that when there's a pasuk near another one, there's a significant shenema, like it says, smuchim laad la'olam. That they're joined for forever for eternity, asuyim be'emes v'yasher, that they're fashioned in truth and uprightness, which is that this is a reference to Divrei Torah, as it says afterwards, ne'manim kol pekudav, that trustworthy are all his commandments. So smuchim la'ad smichas, it's the continuation, the smichas of all his pekudim, asuyim be'emes v'yasher, and for a tzarech, and it's not for davarek. That's what the pasuk is telling us, that we see the source that there's an idea for that. So he told him as follows. He says, we have this concept of smichas, of having pasuk near each other. So loma nismacha pashas avsholim, the pashas goygemoge, correct. The pashas avsholim should have been much later, past the story of running away from Shaul. So why was it so early in Perek Gimel that it's right after the pashas of goygemoge, which was in Perek Beis? And the reason is because the parasha of Gog and Magog is that in the times of Mashiach, there's going to be the Gog and Magog that they're going to fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, and it's going to be the last final war before Mashiach comes. So the She'im Yoyim Lecha Adam, Klom Yesh Eved Shemarit B'Rabbi, because if people are going to tell you, how could Gog and Magog happen? Is there such a thing that a slave will rebel against his master? And therefore he's going to come and deny the words of the Navi that says that there will be this Mocham of Gog and Magog. So you could respond to him to Klum Yesh Ben Shemarid Ba'aviv, is it such a thing that a son should rebel against his father, which was the story of Avshalom. Elahava. Rather, so is it possible? But that's what happened. So here also it's going to be the same thing. So it's the reason why we have these two prokim, they have the Perek of Avshalom in Perek Gimel, and it really should be later, is because to tell it right after the Parsha of Gog and Magog, you might question it, that's why we have it to show that not only will a slave rebel against his master, but we see that even a son rebelled against his father, and that's why it's near it, and not later on. So now the Gemara brings in a discussion, which in later on the discussion, we'll come back to the same passage that we're discussing, of Yutamu Chatoim Min Ha'aretz. So the Gemara begins a discussion. Amar Rabbi Yechanan B'Shem B'Shem Ben Yechai, Mai Dechsev Piha Pascha B'Chachma, that her mouth she opens in wisdom, v'saris chesed ala shayna, and the Torah of kindness is on her tongue. So the Gemara says, k'neged mi amr Shlomo mikazeh. And this pasuk is a mishli, in relation to who did Shlomo HaMelech say this pasuk, that her mouth opens in wisdom, and that the Torah of kindness is on her tongue. So the Gemara says, lo amrel k'neged David aviv, he was saying it in reference to his father David, shedor b'chamisha ilamim, who he lived, he dwelled in five different worlds, and he says Shira, and the Gemara is going to say what these five different worlds are. And that's what, in reference to all these different things, David HaMelech said Shira when he had this Ruach HaKodesh that was on him. So the first one is Dar B'mei Imoi V'Am HaShira. He was in his mother's womb, and he said Shira Shenema, Baruchi Navshi Es Hashem, that let my soul bless Hashem, B'chol Karavai Hashem Kachai, and all my innards, his holy name. And that is, it was in reference to his mother's innards that he was inside of him. So B'chol Karavai was that his mother's innards when he was still in the womb, that's when he said Shira. The second time he said Shira was Yotz La'avro Oilam, he went out to the ear of the world, V'nistakel b'kechovim ha'mazolos v'mashira, and he saw the stars and the different constellations, and he said Shira, Shenemer Baruchu Hashem Alochem, that his angels should bless Hashem, Giborei Koyach Eise Devorei, his strong warriors that do his words, L'shmaya b'kol Devorei, to listen to the voice of his words, Baruch Hashem kol Tzavokov, that bless Hashem all his hosts, that's who is Tzavav, who is the host, those are the different Kechav Mazalas that he saw, that was the second world that he was in when he said Shira. Third time was Yonak Mishtei Imoy, he was nursing from his mother's breast, and he was looking at her breast, and he said Shira. Shenem, as it says, Baruch Navshi Es Hashem, that let my soul bless Hashem, V'altishkechi kol gemulav, and do not forget all your nurturing. So my kol gemulav, what does it mean, all the nurturing? So Amar Rebbe Avohu, she'asa lo dadin b'mokim bina, that Hashem made the breast opposite the place of insight, which is that the woman's anatomy is that where the child nurses from is the place where the heart is. That's the mokim bina. So that was why he was saying Shira was called Gemulav. This is the Gemul that he does, was a chesed that it was at in the place of Bina. And which the Gemara says, time am I, why is it in that location? So Amr Behuda Kadishla is Talkaba Makam Erva, that he shouldn't gaze in a place of nakedness, and it shouldn't be in a makam in such a place. And that's why Hashem made it in a so to speak in a place where it has no erva. And Rav Masna, says a similar thing, Kadeshla Yinik Mimakamatinefis, that he shouldn't nurse from an unclean place. If it would have been in a different location, it possibly would have been unclean. So either because it's erva or tinefis, but for those two reasons, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the dadim in a place of bina, of so to speak, greatness, and therefore David HaMelech said shir then, and the Bali Musa say from here that we see, and really in Halacha it's brought in Hilchas of Chinuch, that a child should not be seeing Ervo or Tenefis, even if it's one day old, as we see that even a child that's nursing should not see a Mokum of Ervo, a Mokum of Tenefis, and that's our Kadosh Baruch Hu made the Dadim Keneged the Lev in the Mokum of Bina. The fourth time, the fourth world that he was in when he said Shira, Robim Palosin Show Rishoim Ba'amah Shira. He saw the downfall of the Rishoim and they said Shira, Shinema Yitamocha Tom in the Arts, that let the sinners cease from the land, Urishoim Oid Einim, and then there won't be any more evil ones. Baruch Hinavshi Sashem Haluka, let my soul bless Hashem Haluka. So that's what we see, he said Shira again. And the fifth time when he said Shira was Nestakal Bayim Hamisa Ba'amah Shira. He looked at the day of death and he said Shira, Shinema, Baruch Hinavshi Sashem, let my soul bless Hashem, Hashem Alakai. My Hashem, my God, gedalta ma'oid, you're very great. Hoid v'hod levosh, the majesty and splendor you have donned. So my mashmad al yom emisim, so the Gemara inquires, where do we see from this Baruch Hinavshi that it was a reference to the day of death? Amar Rabbi Baruch Shilu, misevet inyan, from the end of the topic over there, the, as it says over there in Baruch Hinavshi, taster penech yibahelun, you hid your face, they were dismayed. Taisav rucham yigvan, when you retrieve their spirit, then they perish. So we see that it's a reference to the day of death. And that was when he was saying Baruch Hinavshi. So from our Gemara, we see five times that David HaMelech said Shira. One is in his mother's womb. Another time is when he came out to the Aver HaOlam and they saw the Kechav and Mazalis. Third time was from the nursing from his mother's Dadim. The fourth time is when the downfall of the Rishon. And the fifth time is the Yom HaMisa, the day of death. And that's when he said Shira also because he saw the greatness that was inherent in the person's passing on to the next world. So now the Gemara discusses this same psukim that we had just mentioned, the Rav Simi bar Ukva v'amri la mar Ukva have a shchiach kamed Reb Shimon ben Pazi. He was always in front of Reb Shimon ben Pazi. V'amasader gadat to kamed Reb Shimon Levi, and he would organize the different agadat to the homiletic teachings in front of Reb Shimon ben Levi. So he said to him, "Ma'idachsev baruchi navshias Hashem v'chol krav Hashem kachi." The pasuk we mentioned in the previous gemara, he asked him, "What does it mean? Let my soul bless Hashem and all my innards His holy name. What's this? My nefesh should bless, and what does it mean? My innards." So Amalei Boyre says, "Come and see, Shloike Midas Hakadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basavadam, that the nature of Hashem is totally different than the nature of a flesh and blood of a human being, and that is Midas Basavadam Tzar Tzura Gabe Hakaisel. A person he could form different shapes on a wall. If Ein Yochel Lahatlba Ruach Neshama Kravayim Ubnei'aim, but he can't put into it a breath, a soul, innards, intestines. He could draw a picture, but that's about it. He can't make it into a living, breathing thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Enikin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. Rather, Tzor Tzur B'Tichzur, he could form a form inside a form, which is in the mother's womb. He creates a child in a person. U'matl Baruach HaNeshama, and he puts into it a breath and a soul, kravayim, innards, uvneima'ayim, and intestines. And that's what the behind the Amr Chana, and this is what Chana said when she said, Ein Kodesh Kashem. There's no one as holy as Hashem. Ki ein bel techa, because there's no one like you. Ve ein tzor kelekenu, and there's no rock like our God. My ein tzor kelekenu. What does it mean there's no rock like our God? Rather, ein tzayir kelekenu. There is no shaper like our God. And therefore, that's the idea, because Hashem is tzor tzur. He can make these three-dimensional inside a dimension. And that's Baruch Hinavshis Hashem chol karavei, Hashem kachai, David HaMelech was saying shira, of his nefesh and his kravayim, and how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, that he could put these things into a person, whereas a regular person can't. However, the Gemara continues, Maiki im boltecha, when Chana had said that there's, because there's none besides you, what does it mean, ki im boltecha? Of course, that's obvious. Amir Behuda ben Manasseh, al tikra ki im boltecha, don't read it, that there's none beside you, elik ein levaloischa, there's no one that could outlive you. And that it's the same dramatic contrast between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the person, that Shalikim Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basav Adam. That is Midas Basav Adam, Maisi Yadav Meval Naisim, that the handiwork of a person, his work outlives him, as we see many pieces of art or different architectural buildings, they outlive the people that made them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevala ma'isa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu outlives his handiwork. So that was his response. He told him for the pasuk of what does it mean, Baruch Nafshis Hashem, Chakrabe Hashem Kachai, that the Pshira is Dafka, that Hashem could give a nefesh and kervayim into a person, which is unlike a human being. So Amalei Ano Hochi Kamenilach. I had a different question. That's not what I meant. Hani Chamisha Baruch Nafshi Kineged Mi Amar and David. These five different Baruch Nafshis that David HaMelech says, in relation to who did he say these things? Why did he say Baruch Nafshi five times? So he answered him, It was a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a reference to the Neshama, because they share, Hashem and Neshama share these five different qualities. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first of all, Maloi Chala Oilam, just like Hashem fills up the whole world, Af Neshama Malayas Kala Guf, so too the soul fills up the whole body. Second of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Royevein and Nira, just like Hashem sees everything and he's not seen. Af Neshama Royevein and Nira, so too the Neshama, the soul, sees everything and is not seen. Third of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zonis Kalam Kula, just like Hashem nourishes the whole entire world. Af Neshama Zonis Kala Guf, so too the soul nourishes the whole entire body. The body on itself wouldn't be able to integrate the food that's being ingested into the body. It's a product of the soul. Fourth of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tahar, Af Neshama Tahar, just like Hashem is pure, so too the Neshama is pure. And the last one, the fifth idea is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev B'Chadrich HaDarim, Af Neshama Yoshev B'Chadrich HaDarim, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits in the innermost chambers, so too the soul sits in the innermost chambers. And therefore, Yavei Mish Yesh B'Chamisha Dvarim HaLolu, therefore let the person, the thing that has these five things, which is the person that has the neshama, that let the neshama come, Baruch Hu Nafshi Es Hashem, five times, these five elements, V'yishabech L'mish Yesh B'Chamisha Dvarim HaLolu, and let it praise that which has these five things, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he said Baruch Hu Nafshi five times, a reference to why his soul, his nefesh, saying this bracha takadosh baruch is because they share these five different qualities, and that's because we know that we're a chelik al kamimal. Actually, our neshama is, so to speak, a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself, and that's why it shares these same qualities. So neshama and Hashem have these five things, which is their molly, they fill up the entire area. The second one is that they see and they're not seen. The third one is that they nourish the whole space that they occupy. Fourth one is that they're pure, and the fifth one is that they're in the innermost chadarim, the chadri chadarim. So the Gemara continues along this same theme, and Rashi says that the Gemara is going to discuss a pasuk that at the end of it is going to discuss the idea of being semach gul letfila, and that's why we bring in this next discussion. Amar Rav Nuna, may dechsev mika chacham. What does the pasuk mean? That who is like the wise one? Umiyedei peshadav, and who's the one that knows the interpretation of these things? What's the reference to this pasuk? Which is mika kadosh baruch hu. Who is like a kadosh baruch hu sheyedei lasis pshara, that knows how to make a compromise between two righteous people, which is Ben Chizkiyahu li Yishayahu, that he made this compromise between Chizkiyahu HaMelech and Yishayahu HaNavi, which is Chizkiyahu Omar Leisi Yishayahu Gaboy. Chizkiyahu HaMelech says, let Yishayahu, who is a Navi, come to me because I'm the king. And he proved it. He says, Dehochi Ashkechon Beliyahu Da'az L'Gabi Achav. We find Eliyahu, he was the Navi, that he went to Achav, who was the king. And therefore, let him come to me. Yishayahu Amar, Leisi Chizkiyahu Gaboy. He says, no, the Navi said that let Chizkiyahu, who's the king, come to me. Dochi Ashkechon be Yehoram ben Achav, Doaz Gabi Elisha. We find the king of Yehoram ben Achav. He went to Elisha, who he was the Navi. So therefore, this was the time when they were going to fight against Moav, him and Yehoshaphat. And therefore, he says that let him come to me because I'm the Navi. So Rashi says that since they each one didn't want to go to the other one, so it wasn't possible for him to give him teichacha, to give him muster, that Hashem had told him that he didn't marry a woman. And that was a big taina, it was a tefiyah, it was a complaint from Shemayim that Chizkiyahu wasn't getting married and having children. So therefore, that opportunity never arose because each one held that the other one should come to him. So Ma'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Hevi Yisur Ma'Chizkiyahu, he brought afflictions on Chizkiyahu. V'amaloi Yishayahu, Leichu Bakar Es'chayla, and therefore he told Yishayahu, go do the mitzah and be Mevakar the Chayla. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, "B'yam maheim chola Chizkiyahu lamas." In those days, it was that Chizkiyahu became sick to die. "V'yavei lav Yishayahu ven Amitz Navi," and then Yishayahu, the son of Amitz the Navi, then he came to him. "V'yomer lav koyem Hashem," and this is what Hashem said: "Tzav leveisecha, go and instruct your household. Kimeisat of loisichi, because you're going to die, you're not going to live. V'goyimer, etc." That he was telling him that you're in trouble, so to speak, that you don't, that because you didn't have children.
So the Gemara asked, "Maiki meisat v'loy techi." What does it mean that you're going to die and you won't live? That seems to be a little redundant. Obviously, if he's going to die, he's not going to live. So meisat ba'olam hazeh v'loy techi l'mibay. He was telling him that not only you're going to die in this world, you're not going to live in the world to come. You're not going to have techi sameisim. Amalei Michael Hay says, "What's this going on? I'm not such a bad person. Why am I having this great punishment?" Amalei mishum delay sakta piriviv. You weren't isig in the great mitzvah, the first mitzvah in the Torah of piriviv, procreation of having children. So Amalei Mishum de Chazoy li Baruch HaKodesh. He says, because I saw Ruach HaKodesh in my divine spirit, to nafki minoi benin deloy ma'alo, I saw I'm going to have children that are unvirtuous. So therefore I decided it's not worth it to have these type of children. So Amalei Bahadi Kavsh Dachmanu Lamaloch. So the Navi told him, what are you getting involved in these hidden things of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In other words, these are not your own business. These are the secrets that have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. What was your mitzvah? What was commanded upon you? That's what you have to do. And whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires, he will do. But that's not your choice. You have to do what the mitzvahs are in spite of the fact that you see what's going to happen. So Amalei Hashta Havli Bartach, they said, so now give me your daughter. Why? Maybe what's going to be is that my merits and your merits will cause, maybe in that merit, I'll have good children. But if not, I'm afraid I'm going to have bad children. So the Navi told him, he says, too late already. Don't take my daughter in marriage. The decree was already decreed upon you that you're going to pass away. So Amalei, so Chizkiyahu told him, Ben Amoitz, Kalei Nevoascha Vitzei. Says the son of Amitz, so to speak, like a derogatory, finish your Nevu, your prophecy, and leave. I don't want to hear from you anymore. And the reason is, Kach Mekablanu Beis Avi Abba, this is my Kabbalah, this tradition that I have from my grandfather. Even if it is a sharp sword on a person's neck, Al Yimna Atzman Narachim, he should not refrain from mercy. And that is because the reference to his grandfather was David HaMelech, that he saw the Malach that had his sword stretched out, which is referenced in the end of Sefer Shmuel, and he didn't hold back from Rachman, from asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy, and therefore, I don't care if there was a Gezerah, it's never too late to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachman. It menam, Rabbi Yechidim, Rabbi Laza, the Amri Tavayu, afil acherv chad de menachas al tzavor yishalad, even if there's a sharp sword in the person's neck, al yim na'atz men rachmi, should not refrain from mercy, shenema, like it says in the Pasuk, hein yikduluni, although he kills me, lo yayachal, to him I will pray. And that's the idea that it's never too late. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could always answer. Now we continue on to Amid Beis. The Gemara says something similar, that Amr Reb Chanan, afila balachaloymes oymeloy la'odam, even if the master of the dreams tells the person, lamachu meis, tomorrow he's going to die, al yim na'atzim n'rachim, he should not refrain from mercy, shenema, ki beroiv chaloymes, because with the multitude of dreams, v'havolam and empty prophecies, udvarm harbe and many words, ki esalikim yira, only Hashem I fear. In other words, I don't care all the different words and different prophecies are coming that bad will happen, there's always hope, I could always die with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then the Gemara continues with what happened over there in that story. Miyad vayasiv chizkiyo upon the malakir. Right away, chizkiyo went and he turned his face to the wall. Vayispal Hashem and he davened to Hashem and it worked out. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean that he turned his face to the wall? My kir. What does it mean he turned his face to the wall? So the first test the Gemara gives is Amr b'shem malakish mikiro yisliba. It means he turned to Hashem from the walls of his heart. Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk, may I oichila, that my innards shudder, kirois libi v'gaimer, that the walls of my heart, these are the things that daven ta'kadosh baruch hu, that's what it says over there in the pasuk, haimeli libeloi achresh, my heart will not stay still, and that's the reference to the tefillah of a person that come kirois libi from the walls of his heart. Second Teretz Gemara gives is Reb Levi Omer al iski hakir, he was referencing the story that happened with the wall, which is, what does this wall have to do with his tefillahs being answered? Amalafan Rebbein Nishalel, if we know by the story of the Shunammite woman that she only made one wall for Elisha, which the Gemara will bring the story a little bit later, and in that merit, because she made this one little wall for Elisha, you gave her the schus that her son should live. So my grandfather, that he covered the whole entire temple, bekesev ubezav, with silver and gold, in reference to Shlema Melech. Allah has come and become, definitely Aisha in that merit deserve to live, because if the Shunammite made one wall, my grandfather made the whole Beis HaMikdash with gold and silver, so for sure I should live. So now the Gemara discusses the precise nusach of Chizkiyahu's tefillah. said, Zecharno Eses Histalachti Lefanecha, remember this, that I went in front of you, Be'emes, or Be'leib Shalom, with truth and with a complete heart. Va'atayv Be'necha Sisi, and the good in your eye I did. So the Gemara asked, Mai Va'atayv Be'necha Sisi, what does it mean that the good in your eye, in your eyes I did? What is he referencing? So the Gemara says, first of all, the first Torah says, Amr Bihuda, Amr Av Shesamach Gula Tfilah. This is why we brought in this whole entire discussion, because as it was discussing that the good that Chizkiyo did was that he was Samach Gula Tfilah. That's the first idea of what it means about Tev Benecha, see? The second Torah the Gemara gives is Rebbe Levi Amr Sheganaz Sefer Refuas, that he went and he hid the Sefer of Refuas, which was a different book that had all the different medications and healing therapeutic interventions that a person could do. And the reason why he did this is that people should daven Takadosh Baruch Hu and ask Rachman, because they didn't come to Hashem to beseech him, because they had a book, they had the medical doctors, and that's why he hid it. And this was good in Hashem's eyes, that people should realize that really it's Takadosh Baruch Hu and it's not the medications, it's not the refuas. So the Gemara segues this into the different things that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did good. Tana ban shisha devarim asa Chizkiyahu HaMelech. There are six things that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did. Al gimel hoidu loy v'al gimel loy hoidu. And three things, the Chazal agreed to what he did, and the three things they did not admit to him. They didn't agree to him. Al gimel hoidu loy, and three things that they admitted to him, that was Gona's sefer of fuas, v'hoidu loy, he hid the sefer of medications, and they admitted to him, they agreed to him, as we mentioned before, so that people should daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Second one is Kisas Nechash Anachayshes V'Hoiduloi, that he went and he totally grinded down this copper snake that was on a stick, and everyone would look up to it and it would be healing. They admitted to him the same thing, that people should not think it's the snake, because originally it was only that they should look up and they should see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it became into, so to speak, like an Avodah Zarah, and therefore they agreed to him this that he did, that he grinded it down. Third thing that they agreed to is Gir Atzames Aviv Al Mita Shachavon V'Hoidaloi. He went and he schlepped his father's bones when he passed away on a bed of ropes, and they agreed to him, and that is because his father was a Rasha, and therefore he degraded him, and he wasn't noig with him covered in his burial, and to take out with like a king is worthy with gold and silver beds, he did it with a bed of rope, and the Chum agreed to him because since he was a Rasha. Val Gimaloi Hoidaloi, three things they did not agree to him. First one was Sasim Megichain Vilehoidla. He went and he stuffed up the waters of Gichain, which was the Meir Shiloyach. And this story is brought in Divrei Hayamim. And why did he do that? Because that the kings of Ashur should not come and find water to drink, and it should be to their benefit. And this was a little river that passed near Yerushalayim. And the reason why he was incorrect was because it was a Chesaron B'tachon, and he should have left the water, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take care of their enemies. The second thing he did that they didn't agree to was Kitzat Dalsis HaHechel. He went and he cut off the walls of the sanctuary, of the Hechel, of the Beis HaMikdash, V'shogim L'melech Asher, and he sent them to the king of Asher. V'hoidlein, they didn't agree to, again, the same idea, that they should add betachah, and they shouldn't disgrace the Beis HaMikdash so much to appease the king of Asher by sending him the doors of the Beis HaMikdash. And the third one is Ibar Nisan B'Nisan V'hoidlein. He intercalculated the month of Nisan in Nisan already, and they didn't agree to him, which is, the Gemara thinks now that what he did was, is that he was Mekadesh, it was already, they were in Mekadesh to Chodesh for Nisan. And then after Nisan started already, they changed their mind to make it a leap year, to make two Adars, and that he made it into Adar Beis once it already was Nisan. To which the Gemara asks, Umilesli l'chizkiyo ha-chodesh hazeh l'chem reish chodashim, doesn't Chizkiyo agree to the pasuk that says that this month should be for you the beginning of the months, which is Zeh Nisan ve'in Acher Nisan, which is that only this month should be Nisan and no other one should be Nisan, which is that you can't make it into the Ibriyar, you can't make Nisan into Adar. It has to stay Nisan. So how could he have already made it into Adar Beis when it was already started Chedesh Nisan? Rather, the Gemara says it was something else. Elatah b'dishmul, he made a mistake about the halacha of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel said, Ein ma'aber nesas shana, not only can you not make an Adar Beis when it already started Nisan, you can't even do it on the 30th day of Adar. That again, although it was not, they were not Mekadosh the Chodesh of Nisan yet, because the Edom didn't come. However, the reason is Hoyel v'ra'u l'kayv Nisan, since it's fitting to already establish it as Nisan. If Edom would have came already on the 30th, even from the morning, they could have made it into Nisan already. So you even if they didn't do it yet, you still can't make it into Adar Beis. And the reason is that what happened is that Savar Chizkiyo thought, Hoyel v'ro, he thought that this Svara of Hoyel v'ro, you don't say. And therefore, although it was Lamed Adar, he went ahead and he made it into Adar Beis. On that, the Chamor didn't agree to him because they held like the halach of Shmuel that once it's already Lamed Adar, it's already too late and you can't make it into Shnas Mu'beres and it has to become Chodesh Nissan. So again, we had three things that they agreed to him was that he hid the Sefer Refuas, that he grinded down this copper snake, and the third one that he schlepped his father's bones on a bed of ropes and not as befitting a king. And three, they did not agree to him was that he stuffed up the Mei Shaloyach. Second one was that he chopped off the walls of the Heichal and sent it to the king of Asher. And the third one, they didn't agree to it, that is Ma'abed Shana on Lamed Adar, and the halacha is that you're not allowed to make it an Ibiyur once already Lamed Adar. Now the Gemara resumes discussing this Tefillah of Chizkiyahu. Whoever hinges his salvation in his own merit, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu ends up depending his salvation in other people's merit. And that is, if someone says in his tefillah that Hashem, do it in my merit. For example, like Chizkiyo did, that he said, Hashem, remember what I did and I went in front of you. So that type of person gets answered in the merit of other people. Whoever is toilet his merit in other people, Hashem will end up being toilet in his own merit. As we see, Moshe toilet b'schus acherim. Moshe hinged his being answered in his request in the merit of others. He says, remember Avram, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, Yaakov, Vino, your servants. So toilet b'schus acherim, it ended up being toilet in his own merit. Shenemar. Like it said in the pasuk, "V'yemel hashmidim," I said I'm going to destroy them. Luli Moshe Bechira, had it not been for Moshe, my chosen one, that Amad beperes lefanim, that he stood in the breach in front of him, lahashiv chamasai mehashkes, to return his anger from destroying. And that is that although Moshe was mispal b'schus to avos, Hashem says that he answered in the schus of Moshe. However, in the other way, Chizkiyahu told the b'schus asma, he hinged it on his own merit. Remember what I did, I went in front of you. And it ended up being that Hashem answered him in the schus of others. Like it says in the pasuk, that I should shield this city to save it. That in my sake, Ulaman David Avdi, in the sake of my servant David, that is, that he wasn't answered in his own merit, rather in Hashem's merit, so to speak, and in David, his grandfather's merit. And this is what Yerushua ben Levi meant when he said, what does it mean in the pasuk? Hine l'shalom, behold, there is peace, but marli mar, it's bitter for me. What does that mean? How could it be bitter when there's peace? That even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him peace, marhulai was bitter for him because it wasn't in his own merit. It was said that in your own schus, you would not have lived. Rather, it's only in the schus of your grandfather, David. Now the Gemara goes back to what we mentioned earlier, one of the pshatim that he was saying, that he turned to the kir, to the wall, that he said that I should be answered, that a kavachemer from the wall that the Shunammit made for Elisha, my grandfather made the walls of the Beis HaMikdash gold and silver. So the Gemara discusses, what was this wall that the Shunammit woman made for Elisha? She says to her husband, Nasa no alias kir katana. Let us make a small alias kir. So Rav Shmuel is machlekes. What does this mean, an alias kir? Chad omer aliyah prua haisa. That one of them says that there was an upper chamber that was unroofed. The kiruhu, and they roofed it. That's aliyah. That was the elevated, the upper chamber that they made a kir. They made a wolf. They roofed it. And some say that it was a large hole that they had. V'chilku l'shlam. They split it in half to make a separate bedroom for him. So the Gemara discusses these two pshatim. Bishlam elamando amech sadja. According to when it says that it was a hole, haindich siv kir, that's what it means, that they made a wall to split it up. That's aliyah's kir. Elamando aliyah, my kir. But the one who says that it was, let's say, an attic, an upper chamber, what does it mean that they made a wall? They didn't make a wall, they made a roof. So the Gemara answers, shekiruha, that they roofed it. The word tikra is related to the word kir. That's what they did, they made a roof for it. So the Gemara says, Bishlam elamandam aliyah, according to the one that says that it was an upper chamber, haindich siv aliyah. That's why it says an upper chamber, aliyah, elevated. Elamandam achsadja, my aliyah. But according to the one that says it was a hall, what is this upper? It wasn't upper, it was a regular floor. So the Gemara answers, Mu'ula shebebatim. It was the best of the rooms. That's aliyah's kir. So again, aliyah's kir either means aliyah, which means it was an upper chamber that was unroofed, and kir is that they made a roof, a tikra. Or it means aliyah, it means it was the best rooms, the ma'ula, that kiruah, that they made a kir, that they made a wall for it. Then the Gemara continues what she said to her husband. And after we make the wall, or again, or if we roof it, and then we should place for him over there a bed, a table, a chair, and a menorah. So Amar Abaye, Vitam Yitzchak. So the Gemara says about this thing that this is what they did for Elisha, and he went and he had Hanah from it. So Abaye said Vitam Yitzchak, and some say Yitzchak said that Haroitz Elahana is whoever wants to have pleasure. In other words, he wants to have Hanah from other people. So then Yehana, he should have pleasure. And there's no issue, there's nothing wrong with that. And that is Kelisha, like we find by Elisha, that he had Hanah from the Shunammit woman and her husband, that they made a room for him. But for someone that does not want to have anah from other people, aliyana, he should not have anah, and it's not considered like gaiva or sinner, or like hating people. It's not antisocial. Kishmul haramasi, like we find by Shmuel hanavi, shenema, like it says in the pasuk, uchuvase haramasta, upon his return to Ramah, kisham basic, because there is where his house was, and that is we find by Shmuel that he didn't want to have anah from other people, because it says over there in the pesukim. It was that every year, and he went around to Beiskel. It says afterwards, it says he would return to Ramah because that's where his house is. So the question is, don't we know that that's where his house is? So rather, the Gemara says, it means to say wherever he went, this that he was going around to Beiskel, wherever he went, that's where his house was. So it's going back on all the Psukim, that wherever he went, he would take all his kalim that he had in his house, and he shouldn't have to come out to other people and have anah. So therefore, we find that both approaches of having anah from other people or not are both correct in our Masaira of we find by Elisha and by Shmuel these two different divergent ways. Now the Gemara continues with discussing the Shunammit woman. It says v'toymer al isha. So she said to her husband, "Hine no yadati ki isha lekim kadoshu." So it says, "I know that he's a man of God. He's very holy." So Amr, so the Gemara comments on this. So from this Gemara, from this pasuk, we see that a woman recognizes the guests. She knows their characteristics, their personality more than the husband. She knows that which guest is a good person, is a bad. She was able to tell because she told her husband. Obviously, the husband didn't know that he was holy. So the Gemara discusses this. Kadeshu b'no yada. She said that he's holy. Where did she know that he's holy? So Rav Shmuel. One man says that she never saw a fly pass his table. And they say with Moshe Feinstein, the same thing, they have pictures where there were flies all over in the Catskills. And one of them never passed in front. And the same idea that the fly never passed by him because of his Kedusha. That she had a linen sheet spread on his bed. She never saw a seminal emission, a carry come out of him. And sadin is something, pishtan, linen is something that can cause carry. And she never saw. So therefore, kadoshu, he's holy. However, the Gemara is medayik in the terminology kadosh hu, that he's holy. What do you mean he's holy? So I'm Rabbi Reb Chanina, who kadosh? He's holy, but his servant, his misharis, is not kaddish. Shenema, like it says about his servant, v'yigash gechazi lahadfa, that gechazi approached her, the Shunammit woman, to push her away. So the Gemara is medayik on the word hadfa, interesting word to use for pushing. The word hadfa is related to hoid yafa, that he grabbed the glory of her beauty, which Rashi says to mean her breasts. And therefore, because he pushed her in that area, we see that obviously he was not Kaddish. So the end of that pasuk, which we were discussing before, says, Oiver aleinu tamid, that he always passes us by. So what does it mean regarding that the Shunammit woman was telling her husband in reference to Elisha that he was always Oiver aleinu tamid, that he always comes by us? What's the word tamid? That it's saying that kol ma'arich tamachacham teich beisai, whoever hosts a tamachacham in his house, and he gives him pleasure from his belongings, as if he offers the carbon tamidin, which are brought constantly every single day. That's what she used the word tamid to say, that because they host him, it's as if they bring a carbon tamid every single day. So the Gemara continues with another statement from the Amori that we mentioned before. Here we say a different statement. Al yamer odin b'mokum gevoya. A person should not stand on an elevated platform, which the Poskim say means around Gimel Tfachim, v'yispal and Davin. El b'makom nomach v'yispal, rather he should be in a lower place and daven. Shneim, like it says in the famous pasuk in Tehillim, "Mimamakim kresich Hashem." From the depths, I call out to you, Hashem. The depths. Not only is it, as people use it, metaphorically or spiritually, rather, it even means on a physical dimension. From a lower place, a person should daven. Tanya mehochi. Similarly, we learned in the brayso, lo yamid odom lo yagabe kisei. A person should not stand not on a chair, lo yagabe shravshav, and not on a stool, for lo b'mokum gavoya, not on an elevated platform, b'yisbal and daven. Ella b'mokum namach. Rather, a person should be in a lower place, b'yisbal and daven. And the reason is lefi shein gavos lefnei mokum. There is no haughtiness. There's no gaiva in front of a kodesh baruch hu. Shenemim mimamakim kresich Hashem. That from the depths I call out to you, Hashem. Uchsiva, and another pasuk that says the same idea. Tfilah la'ani, a tfilah for a pauper, which is doesn't mean just for a pauper. It means derech anis, the way of a poor person, which was with humility. Kiyatev, when he wraps himself, that's the idea. The yatev is the idea about the way the person wraps himself on this talis. But it's the idea about the humility of a poor person. That's how a person should daven, not standing on the elevated platform. So the Gemara continues now with another statement by the Samori. Someone that davens should align his feet, that they should be one on the side of the other. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, regarding the malachim, v'regleihem regel yishara, that their legs were a straight leg. Obviously, they don't have legs. It means that it seems like one leg. And that is that we see that a person should have his feet together when they're being mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another statement from this Amoyer. V'amar b'yis reb chanina b'shem aloz ben Yaakov. Ma'idich siv, what does it mean in the pasuk, lo yisoichlu al adam, you shouldn't eat on the blood. What does it mean, eating on the blood? So it means, lo yisoichlu koidim shetispalalu al dimchem. You should not eat before you daven on your blood, which means the person's well-being, because the person's blood, which is his circulatory system, that's what is the source of his well-being. So it means you shouldn't eat before you daven for your blood. Similarly, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Chanina, Shem Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, Kala Oichel v'sheise, V'achakech Maspal, whoever eats and drinks, and then he davens, Allah v'akasa v'ayman, such a person, the Pasuk says, V'oisi hishlachta achri gavecha, that Hashem says that me you threw behind your body. So al tik gavecha, don't read opposite, behind your body, el geacha, rather opposite your arrogance. So in it's really both ideas. It's the person's body that he's so to speak, feeding his body, which is his arrogance, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, la'acheshen is goyezeh. That after this person elevated himself with his eating, kibbutz love malach shemayim, then he goes ahead and he's being mekabel malach shemayim. That type of person is throwing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, behind his gaiva. So the Gemara continues now with a quote from the Mishnah regarding up until one can say the morning Kriyishma, the Tanakhama set up until Netzachama, and Rabbi Shua Imr Ad Gimel Shoyes until 3 hours into the morning. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Huda, I'm Rishmol, Halacha Kibishul, as our minig is, that this man of Kriyishma is up until 3 hours, Shoyes Manius, into the morning. The Gemara says that whoever says Kriyishma, Hakari Mikam Ve'elech, whoever says Kriyishma after this man of Kriyishma, Lehiv said he doesn't lose out, because there's someone like saying one of the parashas in the Torah, that even though he's not being Yitzhak Hischiv of Kriyishma, but he does get the schar as if he's being Isaac in Torah, because he's reading parashas from Torah Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Amrav Chizdam Amr Ukva, Ubavach Loyoyim Yitzhar, although you could say Kriyishma even after this man, but you shouldn't say the Birchas Kriyishma, and one of them being Yitzhar. So the Gemara asks, Meisve, we learned, Hakor Mekan Ve'elech, Lo Yifsid, Ka'od Meshukar Batarya. The Rebbe says Kriyishma after this man of Kriyishma doesn't lose out, like someone that's being saying parashas in the Torah. Again, he doesn't get the mitzvah of Kriyishma, but he's saying getting the mitzvah of learning the Torah. But he could make the Birchas Kriyishma two before and one after, and then say Shemayin Esrei. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta, Rav Chizda, Tiyufta. So this does slug it up, and that is the halacha, that although a person cannot be yitzis chiv krishma after 3 hours, but this man of tefillah is up until 4 hours, and the person could say birchis krishma with his shema even after this man of krishma, as long as it's before his man of tefillah, possibly. The Gemara says, Igadami, another version of it is, Omer Rav Chizda Mar Ukfa Mailo Hifsa. What does it mean that he doesn't lose after this man of Kriyishma. Shlehifsid brachas, forget it's like we're saying that he doesn't lose out on the brachas and Tainam Hochi, and this is where we learn the Raisa, that Kori Makam Ve'elech Lehifsid Ka'odim Shakar Ba'Tayra, that he doesn't lose out like someone that's reading in the Pashas Tayra. Avamavaruch Hushtam Lefanav, Achas Lachra, but he could make the Brachas Kriyishma before and after. That's what it means, he doesn't lose out. Not that he doesn't lose out, that it's because he's like reading in Tayra, but he doesn't lose out the Brachas Kriyishma, even though it's after this man of Kriyishma. And from here we learn that Amr Mani Godel Hakar Kriyishma Bainasa Yesim Isabat Tyra. We find that someone that says Kriyishma in its proper man is greater than someone that learns Tyra. And how do we know this? Midiktani from this that we learned, Hakar Mekanva Elech Lai Ifsid. We said in the Mishnah, whoever reads Kriyishma from here on after the man of Kriyishma doesn't lose out. Ka'odamakar Batar, like someone that's learning. Mechlal the Kari Bainasa Adav. It's obvious that the one who says Kriyishma in its time and its man is even better than someone that learns Tyra. Because it says Loi Hifsid, it doesn't lose out as if someone learns Tyra, almost like a secondary type of idea. But that it would be greater for someone that says Kriyishma and Nitzman than someone that's learning Torah. So if someone has to choose between the two mitzvahs of either learning Torah even in any other time, as Taisa says, or saying Kriyishma and his proper Zman, let's say someone's in jail and he only has a choice for those two things, he should rather say Kriyishma and Nitzman, that's greater than learning Torah. Now we continue with the next Mishnah in our parak, which talks about the position that a person should be in when he's saying Kriyishma. That's Machlokes. B'shamei Oimrim Be'erev, that during the evening Kriyishma, call Odom Yata V'yikra, and everyone should lean and say Kriyishma. You should lean on the side and say Kriyishma. Uvavoyke Yaman, in the morning when it says Kriyishma, he has to stand. Shenema Uvashach B'chov Kamecha, as the Pasuk says, that Uvashach B'chov, when you're laying down, has to be Derech Shchiva, way of laying down. And it says Uvkamecha, when you're getting up, has to be as a person stands up. That's why Beis Shammai says, at night you have to lay down and say Kriyishma, and then you have to stand and say Kriyishma. However, everyone could say Kriyishma in his regular manner, whether standing or sitting or sleeping or going. Either way is good. It says when you're going on your way, and that's neither laying down or standing. So why does it say that when you lay down and when you get up? It means at the time when people lay down and at the time when people get up. Reb Tarfon says, "Ani ha'isi bo baderech. I was going once on the road. Behitisi likris kedivish b'shamay. I went to lay down, as was the psak of b'shamay that you have to lay down the evening Kriyishma. V'sakanti ba'atzmi mnei alistim. And I put myself in danger because of the bandits that I didn't continue going. It's almost I lay down in a dangerous area. So Amruloy, they told Reb Tarfon, kedai ha'isi locha ba'atzmicha. It would have been fitting for harm to come upon you shavata de Beis Hill because you were over, you transgressed the words of Beis Hill. If the loch is like Beis Hill." And therefore, in the Makom Sakana, there is no merit, there's no mitzvah being made on you because the halacha is not like Beis Shammai, rather the halacha is like Beis Hillel, so it almost would have been fitting for harm to come to you that you did like Beis Shammai in the Makom of Sakana.